Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Now, are you looking forward to something special this year? Well, maybe it's a special birthday, a wedding. I know your children are probably looking forward to get, or grandchildren are looking forward to getting Easter eggs. And some of you be looking forward to the meal afterwards and be hoping this sermon doesn't go on too long. And I know Biola, is Biola here today? No, but he's looking forward to his wife and children coming very soon.
He's collecting them this
morning. Right. Well, in Jesus' day, they were really looking forward to the time when the Messiah would come. They've waited for many generations. Now, this was the hour. First slide, please. Behold your King. There's a title for today. I could have used a more modern word like look instead of behold. But behold suggests taking a good long look at, to gaze upon, to feast our eyes upon. And that's what we want to do today. And we're going to look at three aspects of Palm Sunday, past, present and future. So first, in the past, the promised King has come. Second, in the present, the King sits enthroned. And third, in the future, the King is returning. So the first point, the King has come. Much of the Old Testament was looking forward to the coming of the promised King, the Messiah. Now the great day had arrived and Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. So next slide, please. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival, that is the Passover, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Some people are joining in, well done. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, or behold, your King is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and these things had been done to him. Next slide, please. So the promised Messiah, the anointed one, will come. And that's why they said Hosanna to the Son of David. That's the version in Matthew. It's also he who comes in the name of the Lord and the King of Israel. Now all these are titles that were given to the promised Messiah. And John quotes a prophecy. Next slide, please. Quotes a prophecy from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your King is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The prophecy was being fulfilled in front of their eyes, even though they didn't realize it at that very moment. So why the palm branches? The palm branch is a symbol of victory and peace. And although you won't find many of these in Gorton or the north of England, for that matter, date palms were actually very common in the Holy Land. And at that time, in eastern lands, palm branches were strewn on the road or waved in the air to welcome home a king returning home victorious from battle. Today, I'd like you to imagine yourself in other people's shoes. Imagine yourself there at that time on Palm Sunday one of the crowd. Imagine the scene. It would have been something like this. It was a scene of great celebration. Woo! Woo! Well, John says about Palm Sunday, only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Jesus being glorified is something that doesn't get mentioned too much today, but it was something that was very, very important to the early church. So we come to my second point. In the present age, the king now sits enthroned. So Palm Sunday was the beginning of the journey via the cross and resurrection to Jesus' glorification. So Jesus came not only as the humble king, but as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. It was a time of the Passover festival, which was remembered the time when God delivered his people from Egypt. And at that time, the blood of lambs were put over the doorposts to save the people of Israel from death. And Jesus fulfilled the Passover festival by dying for us on the cross. And we remember that on Good Friday. Jesus was a lamb who was slain. And next Sunday we will joyfully celebrate his resurrection. But it didn't end there. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, after he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That is the glorification of Jesus. Now I wonder if there are any Bible scholars here today. Does anyone know what is the most quoted verse from the Old Testament in the New Testament? Which is the verse from the Old Testament that's most quoted in the New Testament? Give you a clue, it's in the Psalms. Anyone know? It's Psalm 110, verse 1, which is, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So let's take a look now at one of these examples. Next slide, please. And that's from Peter's speech on the day of Pentecost. He said, God raised Jesus from the dead. And we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honour in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended to heaven, but yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honour at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. So today we can be confident that Jesus has been enthroned as King because his Spirit has been poured out upon us. The witness of the Spirit in our hearts is evidence that Jesus sits enthroned. And that could never have happened until Jesus had been glorified. And you may recall in John chapter 7, where Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Afterwards, John adds this helpful comment. He says, Jesus was talking about the Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, what do we mean by glorified? We mean exalted, lifted up, raised to the position of highest honour in heaven. And as I mentioned before, the writer of the Hebrews says, after he provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, after a a good hard day's work, I'm sure like me, like to go and have a sit down. Well, when Jesus had accomplished everything he came to do, he sat down. His work was finished. It was a job well done. The king returned home victorious. He was greeted by hosts of angels. Maybe they were waving palm branches. We don't know, but let's use our imagination. Imagine yourself there on that day. There was a huge celebration. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the pioneer, the trailblazer. He's gone ahead on our behalf. He's pioneered the way. He's blazed the trail for us. And because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we also shall be raised from the dead. In 2 Corinthians 15, we read that Jesus is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Jesus' resurrection is a guarantee of our own resurrection if we trust in him. That's a great truth, but did you also realize that because Jesus has been glorified, we also will share in his glory? Jesus' glorification is a guarantee of our own glorification. Now, do you know that being a Christian, or the Christian hope, is not about going to heaven when you die? I used to think that during my early years as a Christian, but actually our hope is something far better, something far more glorious that awaits us when Jesus returns. The Bible describes it this way, the hope of glory. Jesus' mission is to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Now, what does the Bible mean by that? We're not given the whole answer, only have a glimpse now. Dear friends, we are already God's children, and that's wonderful, but he has not yet shown us what we shall be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. That's the hope of glory. We shall be like him. We will share in his perfect nature and his kingly rule. We share his glory. When we see Jesus, we'll be changed to be like him. Romans 5:2 in the Amplified Version says, through him, that's Jesus, we also have access into this faith, by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope, the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Jesus came down to the lowest place. He died the shameful death of a common criminal so that we could be lifted with him to the highest place, so that we could be seated with him in glory. Ephesians 2:6 says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, we learnt about glory last week. All glory belongs to God. But here's the amazing thing. He shares that glory with us. That's our destiny. We actually have a foretaste of this now. We read in 2 Corinthians 3 that the Holy Spirit is changing us from one degree of glory to another. So now we come to my third point. The king is returning.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen. We've already sung about this today, but this is a future aspect of Palm Sunday. Jesus is returning not as the humble king, as the lamb, but as the glorying king, glorious conquering king, as the lion. If the Old Testament was looking forward to the king coming, well, in the New Testament, it's looking forward to Jesus' return. And in the New Testament, Jesus' return is mentioned over 300 times. That's at least once a chapter. Now, the early Christians were eagerly awaiting this great event. Now, you'd probably be relieved to know that I'm not going to speak in all 300 verses today, but I'm certainly going to talk about this one. Next slide. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, says, "We tell you this directly from the Lord, that we who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will live with the Lord forever. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words." We're told to encourage one another with these words. So tell your neighbour, "We will be with the Lord forever." We will be with the Lord forever. Someone shout hallelujah. Come on. As I said before, Jesus is returning not as the humble king, but as a triumphant conquering king, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to destroy all sin and wickedness once and for all. Where do you stand today? Are you trusting in Christ alone, or are you without God and without hope, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2? A few weeks ago, I went to an uncle's funeral in Leicestershire. His widow said to me, "You're very religious, aren't you?" Well, I'd never actually met her, so I think she must have seen my Facebook page, possibly. But then she said, "My husband wasn't religious in the slightest." And the funeral service was very empty and sad. There is no hope outside of Christ. Have you put your hope in Christ? If you'd like to do that today, please speak to one of the leaders afterwards. Tim Keller tells a true story about a young family in which the mother had sadly died. The father said to his youngest child, "See that truck over there? Would you rather be hit by the truck or its shadow?" The young boy said, "By its shadow." The father replied, "Well, here's the thing. Jesus got hit by the truck of death so that we only have to go through the shadow. We pass through the shadow of death, but the shadow cannot harm us. Jesus has conquered death, but he gives us the victory. Death has lost its sting. When he returns, we will have resurrection bodies like Jesus' own glorious resurrection body." Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 21, he says, "He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." I don't know what you think, but I'd certainly be glad to trade this one in for a much better one, the deluxe model. What should our response be now? Well, our response can be summed up, next slide please, in these three P's: ponder, persevere, and praise. So ponder, set your thoughts on things above, where Christ is seated. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, in the Message version, says that this world is not your home, so don't make yourself cozy in it. We need to remember that, don't we? We should be eagerly looking forward. Philippians 3:20 says, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour." Are you eagerly looking forward to his return? First P is ponder. Second P is persevere. Coming back to this verse from Hebrews chapter 12. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, a pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, many years ago, I was preaching a sermon about hope. And I felt there was someone in the audience who was thinking of giving up being a Christian. Or maybe there's someone here today in that same position who needs to hear what the Bible has to say. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't give up now. Persevere. There is a great reward awaiting us when Jesus returns. We should be faithful now in doing what God's called us to do, building his kingdom, even if we go through many trials and difficulties." The Apostle Paul says, "These little troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all our troubles seem like nothing." So ponder, persevere, and then, next slide, praise. The three ages, past, present, and future, link by rejoicing. Rejoicing at the coming of the Messiah. Rejoicing when Jesus is enthroned at God's right hand. And rejoicing when Jesus returns. And in each case, there is an explosion of praise, an explosion of joy, a great celebration. Revelation chapter 7. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." Isn't that fantastic? There's going to be a crowd from every tongue, nation, people. Just like as I look out today, I can see peoples from different nations and tribes and languages. So it will be on that great day. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. "Have you got your palm branch ready?" And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and glory and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.